Hey guys, welcome into the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. We are going to celebrate the Kansas City Chiefs today.
Are we?
In all of their glory. They are the Super Bowl champions.
Yes.
The big news of the day, those Kansas City Chiefs. They're the champs. What do you think of that, Big Ben? He's in the house today.
I'm indifferent. I really don't care. I'm happy for my son because your children have poisoned have poisoned my son to become a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and I'm happy for him. But all I gotta say is I was his age the last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl. So I'm not saying
that. Is it 28 years? 25?
96.
Wow.
1996.
Back when the floppy disk was still king.
That's amazing considering like the Eagles just won the Super Bowl four years ago.
Yeah.
How does that franchise?
I'm disheartened.
Not get it together.
I apologize. My grandma listens to this podcast, by the way. Shout out, Grandma Askew. Anyway, I'm kind of downhearted about my Cowboys. You know, it just.
Did you see Dak at the pregame? Dak was a part of the pregame.
I didn't see that.
A lot of people that are woke said the pregame and the whole Super Bowl was pretty woke overall.
Yeah.
In terms of.
I'm actually going to talk about it a little bit today. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Cowboys fans can take one awesome solace. They kicked Tom Brady into retirement.
Finally. I think that's like the first game Brady lost to Dallas in Brady's entire career.
So let's go ahead and get to our rants then. We're Dudes Talking News, Sports, and God. So we always appreciate you listening to the podcast. We will have a lot of Super Bowl talk, but we always, our new tradition, to kick it off with the 60-second rant. Go for it, Big Ben.
I am sick and tired of these companies that are scammy. They call you, and they take a verbal, anything other than yes, verbally as a, hey, I can sell this to you.
Yep.
They send you the product and send you a bill. Okay. So I've seen two of these scams in the last 2 months. Okay. They take anything other than a verbal no. They take anything other than that as a yes, I agree to whatever the sale is. And we're talking like $500, $200 stuff that for things that don't cost that much. And then they send it to you and then you reply back like, hey, what in the world is this? They're like, oh, you said yes to it. And then you're like, no, I didn't. I never said, you know, and then like, we told you the price and blah, no, you didn't. And so listen, there are companies out there that will call you and they will take anything other than a verbal no as a yes and ship it to you. So don't give them your information.
Yep.
Don't give them your address. Don't give them your name.
Yep.
Okay. And then if you think that it might be potentially a real company, look them up on the Better Business Bureau.
Yep.
And look and see what, because every single one of these companies have bad practices and it's exposed on the Better Business Bureau. Okay. Protect yourself. This is the second week I've been talking about scams. Last week it was about Facebook scams. I'm keeping the MCD universe safe.
Scammers.
I'm keeping them safe from scammers.
Or evil people.
Okay. And listen, they are out there. They want to take advantage of you. If it happens to you, there is a return policy on most of them. That's just standard practice. Okay. Send it back. And then if you have any more problems, contact the Better Business Bureau. They are wonderful people over there. They will help you. They'll pull reports on the companies. Okay. You there's people out there to take care of you. So
the triple B, the Better
Business Bureau. Okay. For the win. They've saved us a few times. So,
yep. I did a form of telemarketing in college, not full on. It was like for surveys.
Yeah.
But what an evil industry.
It is. It's predatory. It's predatory. And you know, unfortunately they usually take advantage of people that are somewhat timid maybe, or even an older generation that doesn't really understand what they're doing. It's predatory, and then they dig, and then that's just how they make money.
At least on my
If you want to scam Greg Walden, just say you're with GoPro.
Nope.
He'll I'm with GoPro.
Dude, my block list on my phone is about 5 miles long.
Yeah. All right, good rant. Is that it?
Yeah,
that's my rant. Unleash your rant there, Greg Walden. You're a happy man today. Probably not. Hello.
Yeah. My rant is YouTube ads. YouTube ads was my rant. Okay. You watch a YouTube video.
YouTube Premium.
Oh, I ain't paying for that. So you get on YouTube and you got to watch like two ads. Sometimes they're like 6 seconds long, 15 seconds long. Sometimes, I mean, I've seen an ad 2 hours long. Right. And then you get through like skip, and you get like 5 minutes in a video and pops up with two more ads. It's like, oh, that's annoying. It's like you can put the whole ad on their whole video. I'm not buying your product, so stop it, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's getting really bad on Facebook too. Even Facebook videos. It's like, I've gotten to the point that they're ruining their app, Facebook is, with ads and different things. And it's like, I just end it. It's like, nope, I'm done.
Wow.
Yeah. Fight the ads.
I call it ad tube now.
Can you, okay, so this is a question I have. Can you put an ad blocker on your computer and would it block all those ads if you're watching YouTube?
Not on YouTube, no.
No.
I tried. I've tried. I tried Pi-hole and some AdSense and other ones. And it'll work on the websites. Yeah, like you go to a regular website, but it won't work on streaming video.
That's a
bummer. And he works for the IRS.
Yeah.
So he knows all those shady, secretive, under operative companies to connect with to help him in that. And it's still not working.
I'm not that connected, guys.
YouTube is king. not that connected. They're owned by Google. So
my quick rant is, where are all these balloons coming from? Everywhere. Yes. There's balloons all over the world, over every country right now as we speak. Who would have known the aliens would use technology?
Are you referring to the one that we shot over Canada?
There's four of them.
Well, did you read this morning? They said
no, I didn't see
China, this China said they've seen American balloons.
What?
Flying over. Yeah, where's this at? I have
there. Okay.
Ad. Yeah, well.
So, it's Russia.
Well, think about it. Well, that's hard to believe because usually stuff floats from east to west. So in order for the United States to float a balloon over China, they would have to, goes over the Atlantic.
Turkey or
something. All that. So
here we go. China, see, yes, I did see this morning. China accuses U.S. of flying spy balloons into its airspace. So this came out today. Yeah. On Monday, accusing United States of flying spy balloons into its airspace without permission more than 10 times since the start of 2002, further escalating tensions between the two countries. I call baloney.
So. Okay, let's be honest. How expensive would it be to make a balloon like that and fly it?
No, it would be pretty cheap.
Yeah, okay. So there's the thing called YouTube.
Google Maps.
Like, listen, it's going to come out. This is an influencer, or it's Mr. Beast, or Jake Paul, or some influential person that is pranking the entire world that might throw it into some kind of
start a world war with some YouTube guy.
I saw that they shot one. So the United States shot one over Canada in the Yukon.
Yeah, we also shot one over the Great Lakes too.
There was a second.
There was four of them.
Four
of them, yeah.
Hold on, four of them since when?
Well, balloons. Four balloons since this controversy started.
Okay, like the last week.
Yeah, the one that he shot that went over the United States,
shot it South Carolina. That was the first.
That was one, and they shot one over like in Yukon. Shot one over the Great Lakes.
Okay,
and I heard of a fourth one, but I don't know where they shot it down at. But
oh my goodness,
balloons
turning into Barnum and Bailey. We're turning into a circus.
Yeah. Well, China, can you
start exporting clowns?
I'm not going to say what I... Can you trust China saying that we're flying them over
there? I don't know. All right, let's get to it. The Super Bowl happened last night. The Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs, win 38-35 over the Philadelphia Eagles. It was a great, exciting game. I think it was one for the books. You could put this down as potentially one of the best Super Bowls of all time, maybe top 10 in that ballpark. Give me your guys' hot take. What did you process, think about, or your final takeaways from the game?
Scripted.
Greg Walden.
Well,
it was a great game.
Yeah, it was a good game. I watched some of the first half, and I thought, oh, gosh, they're going to – yeah. Then, I guess, second half, the Chiefs always seem to pull the rabbit out of their hat.
Yeah.
It's like every game they play, they have to pull a rabbit out of their hat. It's like, how many rabbits these guys got in their hats? Yeah. But, no, my biggest take from the game was my biggest – I mean, even if they lost, I like where Mahomes went. I mean, he went out there and played with an injured ankle. I mean, dude got tackled in the second quarter, and everybody thought he was done. Yeah. And he come back out. And
he made that run, too, on that ankle.
Right.
Yep.
So kind of the story was, is what we thought, or if you're rooting for the Chiefs, what we didn't want to happen was that the Philadelphia Eagles would dominate time of possession, dominate the ball, keep it out of the hands of Patrick. And that happened in the first half. So the Philadelphia Eagles go up, they're up 10 points at the end of the half. You're like, oh my, here we go. It's the route's on. They're not going to get the ball enough possessions to attack it. But they come back. They score 24 points in the second half, 17 in the fourth quarter. Pat Mahomes, some big runs here and there. And there you go. So I know what, if you were not rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs to win, then you are going to be drawn to one of the final plays in which there was a holding call on one of the Eagles' cornerbacks. So that's, I think if you're an Eagles fan, you're going to be like, we totally got screwed. Like, oh my goodness, that wasn't a hold.
Well, they defused that one. That the play, the Eagles player that did it said that he did grab his jersey and was
hoping. And two, well, we can the talk coach, about. Yeah, go
ahead. The coach did too, and said, "Hey, you know, that's what happens."
Yep.
And we could talk about controversial calls. What about the Eagles? The Eagles guy actually caught the ball and it got tackled, fumbled it.
Touchdown.
And they called it back. I was like, "Dude, that was a catch, man! Dude, had control of the ball." It's like. Yeah, so if you want to talk about controversial calls, there's all over the place. Yeah, you know?
I mean, it's a Super Bowl. You're going to have controversy. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You know? So you brought up that point, Big Ben. Eagles cornerback, he did go after the game. Cornerback James Bradberry, he said that he held.
Yeah.
So
and you could see it.
He did confess.
So what they showed on air, you almost didn't catch it. Is right, everybody thought it was like the second grab around his back, but it was there was actually an incident before that, just brief moment where you could see he pulled his jersey.
Yep.
And I think the announcer said that too, and the announcer's like, "Oh, the Kansas City Chiefs are telling me to shut up." I'm sure, but yeah, no, I think it was a hold. I mean, do you call it?
Yeah.
Like as a ref, do you call it? You know, because if he hadn't called it, we'd be talking about the reverse.
Yep.
Who knows how the game would have worked out? They might have still scored and everything been fine. But you know, if it went the other way, then Kansas City would be, you know, all the fans would be like, "Oh my gosh, they should have called the hold."
But you can call holding every down. There's always somebody holding. Yeah, it's a physical game.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like my feeling is if it is holding, and they're getting crazy with rules in the NFL anymore, but if it hinders the player from their ability to make a play, then it's holding.
Yeah.
You know, that instance where he grabbed his jersey, my feeling and it's like, as a defender, you keep your hand on the person and watch the ball. Right. And is that grabbing that jersey just a little bit really hindering that person from? No, it's really not. You know, it's like if it's blatant, like I'm going to hold his arm back so he can't run downfield. Like, yes, that's holding. I think, I don't know. We're getting nitpicky.
Anymore. Yeah. My honest takeaway, I was rooting for the Chiefs is so I'm more of an NBA guy overall. So here's what I think. So these refs, they have to call the penalty before there's a penalty. Do you know, because the game's moving so fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I know on TV it doesn't look like it's moving that fast.
Yeah.
But I have sat courtside at an NBA game. Yeah. Not second row up, excuse me. And fourth row. Yeah. Okay. But, like, these guys, athletes are moving so fast.
And you
practice. So they're anticipating.
They practice for that too. It's like, okay, let's, before they can throw a challenge flag, you want to get to the next play and hike the ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it works. So you practice for that, you plan for it, and you try to get it moving as quickly as possible. My ultimate opinion of it, though, is it's just like, let them play football.
Yeah.
In a situation like that, if it's not blatant, then let them play football.
Right.
You know?
Sorry, it's not going to change anything.
Yeah,
The Chiefs are the champs. So sorry, Eagles fans. One of our good friends, Pizza Glenn, Glenn Radcliffe.
Yeah, Ren.
In mourning today.
No,
but hey, you made it to the Super Bowl. You know, you're almost there. But, you know, as Ricky Bobby says, if you're not first, you're last. So sorry, Chiefs.
You're so comforting, Pastor.
Yeah. All right. I want to bounce over to one other Super Bowl related item. And I've heard so many people talk about this before, and I want to talk about this because I have actually seen this on the missions field. So here's an article that says the Philadelphia Eagles just lost Super Bowl 57. What happens to their championship merchandise. This is from USA Today article. As the confetti rained down, State Farm Stadium and the Kansas City Chiefs celebrated their Super Bowl 57 win. Philadelphia Eagles players and fans could only dream of wearing the kind of championship shirts and hats donned by the Chiefs because they are pre-made, guys. Okay. So by just because the merchandise won't be seen on the field, online, or in retail stores doesn't mean it will go to waste. It will help thousands of miles away. Good 360, a nonprofit organization based in Alexandria, Virginia, works with the NFL, taking the merchandise meant for the losing team in the Super Bowl, as well as the NFC and AFC championship games, and donating it to people in need overseas. This year will be the ninth year the two organizations will work together to ship out the merchandise. It's such a great move, is what they say. 360. I want to see if there's some teams where they specifically go. I'm not seeing that right away in this particular article. Okay, here we go. It says they don't say exactly where it goes, but the gear will be sent to Africa, Asia, Eastern Europe, and the Middle East.
Yeah, it goes to orphans.
Yeah,
basically.
The reason I bring this up because it was one missions trip I was on that I saw championship gear and was like, wait.
Yeah.
They didn't win the Super Bowl. And I think it was Haiti. I'm pretty sure it was in Haiti is where we're at. But so anyway, there are going to be all kinds of people. Hey, they'll never know. So there's going to be a bunch of Middle Eastern people. What was it? Africans, Asians, Eastern Europeans, and Middle Easterns wearing Super Bowl champion.
They can't sell that, though. They can't sell it, right?
They can't sell it.
I don't think so.
Right.
That'd
be nice if we could get Glenn one of those.
I was going to say, time for Glenn to move to Africa.
All right.
Yeah. I actually have a Super Bowl-related topic here.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so in the pre-show with Jason Derulo, he performed his new song, Saturday, Sunday. I don't know the content of the song. I'm not supporting Jason Derulo. That's not what I'm getting at. But there was a robotics company that accompanied him, and like the little robot dogs. Okay. Do you know where that robot company is based out of?
I do not.
Are you going to Google it? It is based out of Carl Junction.
What?
Yes.
What?
Carl Junction.
We got to get these guys on the show.
I know. Right. Carl Junction robotics, robots featured in the Super Bowl with Jason Derulo during the pre-show. It was the TikTok tailgate party.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking it up here. Surprise Stokes, Super Bowl dancers.
Stokes Robotics traveled to Arizona for an on-site rehearsal with Derulo. Derulo's dance team Saturday following the performance Sunday. Blah, 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 blah.
Stokes Robotics, you said, right?
Stokes Robotics, based out of Carl Junction. So Carl Junction
106 South Main Street.
Is a small town outside of Joplin.
Yeah.
Yep. Just so that
it's like a little storefront.
It's not very big at all, but they had their robots. I'm assuming that the robots kind of danced and stuff with them. And I was like, what? It's kind of funny because I have a friend that's a writer and illustrator of children's books. And he had somebody say, like, you're from Carl Junction. Can anybody of importance come out of Carl Junction?
Wow.
And I teased with him. I said, hey, it's like Jesus. You know, like when they said, hey, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's like, can anything good come out of Carl Junction?
So those dogs are that robot dog, which I've seen before. They're from that company specifically then?
Yep.
Wow. We got to go over there.
Yeah, I know, right? Who knew?
I'd be willing to go in there and just
Carl Junction
be like, what's up, guys?
Has a robotics company. They kind of look like the Boston Dynamics, in a sense. They're dog type robots, but yeah. Cool, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Who knew?
I'm watching the video now.
I looked at a house in Carl Junction back a few years ago when I was looking for a house. I was actually looking at one in Carl Junction.
Yeah, small town. I'm not very big.
Got a Casey's.
And basically Casey's, I mean, typical small town. Does it have a Dollar General?
I'm sure it does.
I'm sure it does, yeah.
I'm telling you, man, it's like I was watching a YouTube video of guys, like he's out in his little island out in the middle of Florida. He's panning around, like, I'm waiting to see a Dollar General.
Yeah. I saw a meme when we had the Chinese balloon fly over, and it said the Chinese response after the balloon flew over the entire United States, it said, wow. That was a lot of Dollar Generals
coming to a,
right, right.
Yep, coming exactly. to a neighborhood near you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we live in a good down home, not southern, but conservative area. If we just got some balloons to just fly over just for fun.
Oh man.
Yeah. There'd be all kinds of people busting out guns.
Like, I want to know what's inside the balloon. Is it like, is it helium? Like what, do they keep?
Probably helium or hydrogen. One of the two.
Hydrogen. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Interesting.
We'll figure it out. Okay. Any other Super Bowl talk we want to get to, guys, a little bit? Nope.
I do have a topic though, but it's not Super Bowl related.
Okay. The only other thing, Super Bowl, I'm going to come back to it for a spiritual talk, but I did find an article about some of the Christian players. Pat Mahomes, I don't know him personally. Hopefully he is a Christian, but you know, he talked about he was going to give thanks to God and he tries to play for unto the Lord. So I guess the short story of that being, I really hope that, you know, these guys that are Christians will use their platform to, you know, be promoters of Christ and to really let that be known.
Yeah,
definitely.
They are. So the ones that are, I found in this article that said are outright Christians or will declare that or publicly say that, Chiefs linebacker Nick Bolton, Eagles wide receiver A.J. Brown, which he was a beast yesterday. That guy tore it up. Then we have Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker, Christian. Nice. Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts and quarterback Patrick Mahomes. So those are some of the supposedly, I'm not doubting them, but this article said six Christian football players contending for a Super Bowl title this weekend.
I see.
There we go. All right. Go ahead there, Greg Walden.
All right. Well, mine's more of something we all three like to do, especially after we do podcasts, is pizza.
I was going to say, eat pizza.
Pizza talk. Yes. Pizza. Podcast and pizza.
Pizza was the primary sponsor of the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
Yesterday.
I didn't know that.
Yes, they were. Yeah. Mm.
So, well, as if you don't know, last Thursday was National Pizza Day.
Okay.
I did not know that.
Right. And so there's some Guinness Book of World Records. Wonder if we'll ever achieve those or be a pipe dream. The world's largest pizza. Can y'all guess how big that pizza is?
360 inches. Is it in inches.
Feet or what's it?
No, just what's the square feet. In square feet.
Square feet.
Largest pizza. I'm going to go 15 feet by 15 feet.
15 feet by feet. Okay, what's your guess?
Square footage, though, right?
Yeah, square
footage. Okay, yeah. I'm going to guess it was in the neighborhood of 5,000 square feet.
Nope. The actual record is 13,957 square foot. Wow.
13,000. What is that by?
At
Oh, my gosh.
It's the size of it. It was the ingredients for the pizza were laid out on a convention center floor and cooked using a series of mobile heat lamps. It was done at the Los Angeles Convention Center.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it's the world's largest pizza.
How many square feet? Did they eat it?
13,957 square feet.
That's bigger than your house, Greg.
Good grief!
Yeah, it was the size of a convention center floor. I mean, you mentioned they probably had people like laid out the pizza and people that set up little booths and sell stuff and they take people eating slices of pizza off the floor. After
What'd they do with it?
I don't know if they did.
I wonder if they gave it to homeless.
They didn't say anything what they did with it.
It's still there.
Yeah. Might be a little bad. Might be a little moldy. Scrape it off.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. The largest.
Wasn't even close.
That's a huge. Yeah, that's tremendous. The largest pizza party.
Okay. So who paid for it?
Well, this is Mike Bausch, owner of the Andolini's Pizza chain in Oklahoma, led the successful attempt at holding the world's largest pizza party prior to a University of Tulsa basketball game in January. The party featured 3,357 participants, all of whom were required to finish two slices of pizza and a small bottle of water during the 15-minute party.
They ate all that pizza in 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I hate to be the one who had to cook that thing.
Yeah. No, thank you.
All right. Next one. Most varieties of cheese on a pizza. Take a guess.
Most varieties?
Yeah, most varieties of cheese on a single pizza.
World record?
Yep.
80.
Ooh, I have no idea.
80. You picked 80?
What do you? Oh, most varieties? I think that's a little extreme. I don't think 80. That seems a little high.
Nah, I'm
going 80. 25.
Nope. 834.
Oh, my word.
Oh, on that pizza?
On that pizza, yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you meant like on a regular size 14-inch. I was like, okay.
Oh, sorry. It was a French chef's. Morgan Niquette, Francois Robin, and Julian Seri teamed up to break a world record by cooking a pizza featuring 834 different varieties of cheese in September 2021.
Who knew?
And it broke the record of the...
I bet you didn't taste that good. It'd be hard to cook a pizza that big and make it taste really good.
All right.
Maybe, so who knows?
The previous record was 254, so they kind of went overboard.
A little bit.
Yeah. All right, so largest collection of pizza-related items. Pastor might actually give a run for this one. I don't know if he collects pizza.
I never collect the items.
You don't collect
though.
Pizza? Okay.
20,000. all right. Is that what you're asking?
Oh, the largest collection of pizza-related items.
20,000.
It's going to be definitely a lot on
20,000 items.
What do you think?
I'll say 36,000.
A million items.
The record is 669,000.
Pizza Superfan
Telina.
669 items?
Yeah, pizza items. Pizza Superfan.
They could be large items.
Yeah.
Anything pizza related. So Pizza Superfan Telina Kupari of Kenilworth, New Jersey, obtained a Guinness World Record in 2022 for a collection of 669 pizza related items. Her collection includes pizza boxes, stickers, books, towels, clothing items, toys, and kitchen utensils. All right, and last one. I'm gonna see. I want Pastor beat this one. Most pizza boxes folded in 1 minute.
Have you ever done that?
The only I'm never okay. So when it comes to all things pizza, I never went for speed, including delivery. But I wasn't the greatest or fastest pizza box folder. But I'm going to say in a minute, you said?
Yeah, in 1 minute. Most pizza boxes folded in 1 minute.
Oh, 75?
1,000.
Huh? No, just 18.
18 is all?
Yeah, 18.
Wow, I thought it'd be more.
There was a
commercial. I don't know if a Super Bowl commercial. A Domino's had a commercial where the guy was folding them in one swoop. He'd like go. That's bad sound effects, but
so this one was done by Randy DeGregorio. 18?
I feel like I could do 7 to 10 in a minute for sure.
Yep, of Manapolin, New Jersey, put his experience as a delivery driver for Mezza Luna Pizza to use when he broke a Guinness World Record by folding 18 cardboard pizza boxes in 1 minute. He said he discovered he had a talent for assembling boxes when he and other drivers would compete to see who could fold the boxes the fastest when business was slow. He bested the previous record of 14 boxes in 1 minute set by Vinoni Alessandro of Italy. And there's your pizza.
Basically, my personal technique is you flip the front side, you flip the back side, you flip up the sides, flip it over.
Sorry and to be the technical person here, but are all pizza boxes the same? Could you
not necessarily
indeed
roughly the same?
Could you invent a pizza box that you could fold in less time than a regular pizza box and then use those pizza boxes to beat that record?
You think you could, but they've been the same for so long.
Is there a standard?
Pizza boxes have been the same for so long. The overall concept.
But what I mean is the folding, though. The folding isn't the same, I'm sure.
No, it is. Yeah, the folding has been the same as long as I can remember.
See, you guys,
for about 15 years.
Listen, you need somebody of intelligence in the pizza realm. I'm going to an event. No,
the only thing I've noticed is that sometimes and maybe it's because they're trying to save costs, sometimes the thickness
changes.
It's like, are they trying to save money? These boxes feel really cheap right now. Then sometimes it's like they feel thicker. But for the most part, the folding concept is roughly the same.
Yeah.
The only thing that I've seen that is different from our local Domino's, and I don't know if there's something to this, they're the only pizza place I've ever seen that doesn't pre-fold their boxes. They have their boxes laid out on the cut table. They put the pizza on the unfolded box. This Domino's.
Yeah.
Put the pizza on there, cut it, and then fold the box. I've never seen that before anywhere. So I don't know if there's something to that.
So when we go to Papa John's, we should see Pastor take a run at beating that record.
Yeah. Should.
That's very interesting. We're going to do two things here, get the spiritual talk. The only one I want to touch on, because I just, you know, I see this stuff sometimes on my Instagram reels, but we had talked about the big red boots. If you guys have seen this before.
Yes.
I guess it's a company available, MSCHF, Mischief, big red boots. They're becoming all the rage. They're like Astro Boy boots or something like that. And they're become super popular. You're seeing all these people
so dumb.
wearing them to NBA games, courtside.
I could see them being extremely popular in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
I blame Kanye West.
I do see. So, okay. I wonder how much they are. So I'm seeing one place say $2,274. Etsy, which is not the official brand, Those are like different, not the official brand, but I think the official brand that started it is Mischief. Big Red Boot Stocks, retail price. So how much are they? $350, $1,400, $1,500
You know what it probably is? If you go on Google and you look at them, I guarantee you that they were made by somebody for like, I don't know, something obscure.
They're like Comic-Con convention or something.
Yeah. And they have like 100,000 of them in a warehouse somewhere. And they're like, how can we get rid of these? And somebody capitalized on it. He's like, listen, all we need is some famous rappers to wear these dumb looking things.
You saw that one on the.
So this article is saying $350 price tag, $350. No.
I wonder if they have one that has a squeak, makes a squeak sound every time you stand up. Squeak, 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 squeak.
Wow.
Yeah, Ben, you're the youth pastor. This is your moment. You got to get these.
Listen, I will not be caught dead in these. Like I genuinely usually don't care about my appearance, but I will not wear these. Sorry. I would wear Yeezys. You know, Kanye West.
Yeah, some of those were.
Those are ugly. Actually, you know, I had a fellow youth pastor say that he found some company that sold identical shoes to Yeezys. Okay.
Okay.
So he bought them and he said it was like $13 a pair. Okay. Yeezys are usually like a couple hundred dollars. So he bought a pair for every one of his youth kids and they named them Jeezys.
Oh, nice.
As in like Jesus, Jeezys. I was like, nice. Oh man, I got to get some of those.
Very cool.
But I don't know why, like, why is the world doing this kind of stuff? That's so weird.
Fads change, man. I remember in high school, the big thing was like, either they, you know, obviously go out and bleach your pants, or my buddy, he bought a brand new pair of pants, hung it on a clothesline and shot it with a shotgun. And that was his fad.
He did what?
He hung his, my best friend in high school, he hung his jeans up on the clothesline and then shot it with a shotgun. Then he'd wear in school.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I mean, I guess fads, that's a way you could do that, but
weird fads.
I see. Here.
Interesting. So you guys go Google those.
It's Big Red Boots. The same group responsible for the Lil Nas X's Satan sneakers.
Oh, really?
So stay away from them. Stay away from them. No. I see here, the giant rubber boots are goofy and possibly round, suspiciously similar to those worn by Japanese manga character Astro Boy.
If you paint them blue, you can be like Mega Man.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
All right. Well, I thought this was kind of a good thing to talk about. And where did it just go? I had it pulled up. Oh, man, because I wanted to get the correct name going on here. But basically, I wanted to tie in. We were just reading scripture in our church Sunday. We were reading from Philippians chapter 3. And we were reading, I'll just read it again. Bore you guys, you already heard it. But Philippians chapter 3, verses 7. This is Paul, he's saying, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, whose sake I have lost all things. So, right, the concept is, hey, I'm losing and giving my life away for the cause of Christ because my personal gain is not worth the gain, the overall gain that I have by giving my life away for the cause of Christ. Mm-hmm. So here's the Super Bowl tie-in. You can maybe look this up. I forgot who the player was. But last night, the Chiefs player, did you see this? At the very end, the Chiefs running back, he could have ran in the end zone
touchdown. Oh, yeah.
And so, but he knew he had an awareness
that,
hey, if I get the touchdown, this would be great because I will get a Super Bowl touchdown.
Yeah.
I've never had one before. This is a dream moment, right, to get a Super Bowl touchdown. But I'm aware that if I get this touchdown at this moment, this could potentially, you know, give the ball back to our opposing team, the Philadelphia Eagles, and they might have a shot,
give them an opportunity
to come back and tie, send it in overtime, maybe get a win, you know, if we just get 7 points and they get 8 points. So he had an awareness that I was like, wait, this moment right now in front of 68,000 people present in the arena and millions of people watching around, as the ball says hike, he's running, a play is live. He has the awareness in that moment to slide.
Yep.
And give up that touchdown.
Yep.
And to give up personal gain for a much greater good, the Super Bowl championship.
Yep.
And I thought that, like, whoa, that, like, captured exactly what I was trying to say yesterday. It's like he you know, submitted personal gain for the greater good of the team and for the championship.
Yeah, that player was Jerick McKinnon.
Okay, McKinnon. Yeah. All right. I just thought that that's amazing that he would do that, and he had the awareness and the smarts to do that. And to me, that just ties in spiritually what we've kind of been talking about, is like, you know, our lives is not, it's not about our personal gain. Being a Christian is not about getting. There's segments of Christianity that promote that. We don't have to throw prosperity gospel under the bus, but that might be a branch that does that. But there's some branches of Christianity, and even in our own, where I mean, I'm technically like identified as a Pentecostal. We would, and just in general, Christianity often gets very selfish, or it's very like about me or getting personal gain. And that is really not the essence of being a Christian or being a follower of Christ. It's about, like Paul was saying here, and this is Paul reminding himself. He's like, you know, Paul, it's not about your gain. It's about losing, you know, your life and surrendering your life to the greater good of preaching the gospel and giving Jesus to the world.
Yeah, it kind of ties in with the, even it ties a little bit, you know, you can see the story of Samson. I mean, we talked about that during Sunday school. It's like Samson was dedicated to God, and he got distracted. Delilah was a distraction. Yep. And when, you know, when he allowed himself to get distracted, it destroyed him. And so in our Christian life, there's so many distractions, like personal gain and other things, that, you know, we get focused on we got to get this stuff, we got this, I want this, I want this, I want this, and we get off the path, and it ends up, we end up becoming no use no use for God, for kingdom of God, because we're so busy wrapped up in our own world that we're not really doing anything for Jesus.
Yep. It reminded me, and it also reminded me, if you guys remember this, back in 2009, the Steelers defeated the Cardinals by the score 27-23. That was when Ben Roethlisberger beat Kurt Warner with the Cardinals. You remember this one? Okay.
Yeah.
What happened is that the Cardinals had the ball. They threw it to the receiver at
Larry
the time.
Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. And he gets the ball. He's wide open. He's sprinting towards the end zone. Okay. And what he should have done is he should have done what McKinnon did. He should have stopped at like the 5 yard line and just slid. Instead, he scores the touchdown with way too much time on the clock. The Steelers get the ball back. Mm-hmm. They march it down the end zone. And that's when Roethlisberger throws that corner end zone pass.
Yeah.
And they win the Super Bowl because they left too much time on the clock. They gave them, the opponent, an opportunity to win, and they did. And wow, again, it's just like the awareness last night to be like, hey, if I score a touchdown for myself, it's going to look awesome.
Yeah.
But there's the potential the other team can come back and win.
Yep.
So I immediately thought of that flashed in my brain. So,
and, you know, it's not human. Again, it's not human nature to think about others. It's a human nature to think about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so the nice thing about being a believer, following Jesus, is that, and be honest with you, I don't think that person can truly be selfless without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, and giving the power to overcome that natural tendency of sin. Is that being a believer, that if we follow Christ and are dedicated to Christ, it'll help us to surrender to Christ. That'll help us to become selfless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in ministry too, it's very easy to get into a mindset that you want, like, just for me, it's like the flesh and human desire is like, yeah, I want to have 200 kids, you know, in that youth group. And that way, I'm going to be honest with you, the mindset of a lot of youth pastors I know in a certain denomination, like the first question is like, oh, how many are you running? You know, it's like, oh, how many are you running? And you're the respect for you is based off of the numbers that you have in your group. And I'm sure it's the same with pastors.
Yep.
Well, how many are you running? You know, and the perspective is, it's like, okay, well, you know, it's a really wrong idea and question to even ask, you know, because it's not supposed to be self-reflecting on, on yourself, right? And yeah. you should not be seeking to obtain as many members in your church as you can or in your youth group, because ultimately, me, it's the quality and quantity factor, right? Do you want quality or do you want quantity? You know, and we've had this debate about very large churches, you know, mega churches. It's like, well, how far can your ministry go? You know, how many, so as a pastor, how many members do you think that you can preside over? And I really think that it's within a couple hundred, if that. You know, because there's, you know, all the conversations you have to have and counseling and different things like that. And when you get beyond those points, you start becoming ineffective. And not only that, but you start getting so big, and let's reference large churches, and it starts becoming about you.
Right.
And then it becomes less about the move of God and more about, hey, people are chasing. Like, that's why one of the reasons why I respect Francis Chan, you know, a lot, because he had, I think it was a 6,000 member church, and then he stepped away. He's like, it's becoming about me.
Yeah.
And he stepped away.
Yeah.
You know, and Rebecca is reading a book of his, I think Forgotten God, maybe. But it talks about, you know, we are entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, and we are trading the entertainment for a move of God, the Holy Spirit. You know, we're dampening and hampering those things. And, you know, our pursuit and what your mindset should be, if you're just a person going to church, your mindset should be, you know, I want to see a move of God today. Right. And I believe as a pastor, you should be like, I want to see God change people's lives. Even if those people come through those doors, And I never see them again. I want them to come in. I want them to experience God. I want them to leave better than they came, yeah, you know? Right. And that if your pursuit is depth and growth in that sense, you know, and you don't care about the numbers, and you don't care about, you know, how many people how many youth kids. It's like, I want those youth kids to experience God, because I want their future lives to be better. I want the outlook of a lot of their lives, and you know, people look at their family. It's like, okay, well, they're not going to go anywhere. I refuse to accept that for them. Mm-hmm. You know, I want them to experience God, to better their life. So when they become an adult,
yeah,
they choose to go towards God, and they apply the things in the Bible, in scripture, to their life, and they benefit from it.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to see them. I tell them all the time. It's like, I want the phone calls in 20 years. Like, hey, Pastor Ben, he's like, you know, I'm still chasing after God. I wanted to let you know, I love Jesus. I'm going after it. I'm a youth pastor. I'm an evangelist, missionary. It's like, I want those phone calls. I don't want the phone calls like, hey, I messed up. And you know, I want people's lives to be better. I want spiritual growth. I want people to see God is real, and God, you know, that's my desire.
Yep.
You know, and it's the same thing. It's like you can get caught up in yourself and your own glory. It's very easy. The enemy plays on that, because it's human nature to want to be the hero, right? Right. You want to be victorious. You want to be the man. You know, but I heard a story about a youth pastor in Alaska, and he had two kids in his youth group, you know, and I think about myself as like, imagining you only have two kids, you're ministering to those two kids, and you just remain faithful. And you have to go through periods of time where you feel like you're not accomplishing anything, or you're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. But the story goes is that the two kids that he mentored and he taught became an evangelist and a missionary, and went out to the world and you know, winning people over for Jesus. So who's more effective? The youth pastor that has 300 students that have no spiritual depth whatsoever, or a man that goes faithfully every week and trains up two, you know, warriors for the kingdom of God that make lasting change in this world?
Well, think about it. Jesus only had 12 disciples.
Right.
And look what change happened.
Yeah.
I thought it was the one with the bigger youth group. I'm just Just kidding. Hey guys, we're gonna wrap it up here today. I was gonna throw in this thought. This is probably a bad thought to throw in right at the last minute, but I was thinking about, if you've seen online, that Asbury College is like having a real move of God. Have you seen that revival? Asbury College. Oh man. Okay. So there's a school called Asbury College that's still like a revival, just is breaking out. And I was like, that's super cool, but like, let's not like hype it up too much and put so much social media on it that it becomes all about that. Because that's not the point. The point is not gaining popularity or like, look, we're having this great, just see God, man, let God move over there. And I'm super annoyed by this. And I know evangelists personally that do this. I get super annoyed by evangelists that just like they have their cell phone out the whole time while they're at the altar, like filming promo stuff. I'm like, just put your phone away, dude. You want us to just focus on what God's doing right now. You don't need to promo anything right now. You don't need to put pictures on the internet of like a kid crying at the altar or something like that. Just focus on the Lord right now. Myself included, all of us included. Like, let's not focus on the gain. Let's not focus on any external kind of thing. Let's just let God move in the context of that thing. There's that temptation to make it about us, our growth, our individual ministry, the ministry we serve. And we're going to keep battling that. And trust me, I'm going to keep battling that, but we'll keep the focus on the Lord. So anyway, praise God. Last thought, Greg Walden, I think the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Here's the real reason I think why is because I bought you Kelce's Crunch just a few months ago.
That was the
magic. So now that the Chiefs have won the Super Bowl, we're going to go eat pizza and Greg Walden's going to buy it.
Is that box of cereal worth more now that they won?
Oh, put it online.
I'll have to go check eBay. I see I've got Kelce's and Mahomes Crunch. So I got two.
Congratulations to the Chiefs. Maybe we should go to the parade. I don't know.
Oh, no. You don't want to go there. No.
Talk to you later, guys.